Thank you, Father, that no matter where we are, your spirit can break out. Father, I pray that each household, each person represented on screen this morning or later today would know the presence of your Holy Spirit with them right now. I pray that, Lord, your word, as I try and communicate it, Lord, will be divided up and sent out and relevant and helpful and challenging and everything you want it to be this morning to each person here with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, so good morning. I'm speaking today in our first in the series called Refuel, about being refueled by Jesus. Something we all need, isn't it? After the time that we've been through and we're still going through, we all need that time of refueling. So I'm going to be talking about that this morning. And I've been asked to speak about the woman at the well in John 4. And I've called this talk, maybe cheesily, Well, Well, Well. So, because really there's three main points that I think we need to look at and we need to consider this morning. We're going to go straight there and we're going to read John 4 from verse 4 all the way through to verse 40 together. And so it's not just me talking. I've asked Gareth to read this through for us this morning.
Amen. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket." She said, "And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. If you have had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now, you certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for our salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him.
Thanks, Gareth. So, well, 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 we hear the account of Jesus speaking to, meeting with this woman, not any old woman, but a Samaritan woman. Now, there are many things we can consider from this story, isn't there? But I, as I prepared for this talk this morning, over the past few weeks, I've known God clearly challenging me on three main things just to focus on and dive into. Okay, so we know, as I've said, that, and as it tells us in the Bible, that Jews quite literally despised Samaritans. In fact, Jesus asking her for water and talking to this woman at all would be unheard of. Drinking from a vessel that she was to give to him would have made him unclean, according to Jewish belief at that time. He would have been unclean because of it. And to add to that, she was almost living under this double prejudice, wasn't she? Because she was an outcast to her own people too. She was despised by the Jews because she was a Samaritan. And she was despised by Samaritans because of her lifestyle. So she was really the lowest of the low. And yet here was Jesus talking to her. It was huge, massive thing. And we can see that in her reaction, can't we? She can't understand why Jesus is talking to her. She can't fathom it. And she begins to question him. Her first response is a question. And this is the confusion that she's coming from. What are you doing? Why are you talking to me? And she asks several more questions with each exchange. Verse 11, verse 12, verse 19, all questions, all her questions. Now, I think this is the first lesson we learn, and we learn it from the woman. Spend time with Jesus, hungry to learn from him. Spend time with Jesus, hungry to learn from him. Her questions aren't polished. Her questions aren't educated. They aren't well-versed or well thought out. They aren't even polite, are they? They're simply tumbling out of her because she wants to learn from Jesus. She wants to know. Jesus is fine. He's fine with it. He takes it. Never do we see him scold or mock her for her limited knowledge. He doesn't tell her off. In fact, her astonishment and questioning reminds me of Psalm 8, in the psalm where David asks of God, "Who am I that you would be mindful of me?" We see that in her response. What? Why are you talking to me? And it really reminds me of that psalm. She can't understand or fathom why he's speaking to her. However, he is speaking to her. He's allowing her to ask questions, and he's actually returning them with love and with kindness, isn't he? And we can see his love and his kindness in his response to her. He says to her, "But a time is coming and is already here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit." I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. So it says, "from the heart, the inner self, and in truth, for the Father seeks such people to be his worshippers." Jesus is talking here about how the Holy Spirit will come soon and it will change everything, and that people won't need to go to a specific place to worship God, but they'll be able to worship him from, as it says in this translation, from the heart, from the inner self. And don't you think this woman was modelling something of this already? She was already coming to him with her questions, her gritty, real heart questions. And Jesus responds to her in love. God wants that from us. He wants our worship, our time, but he wants us to be with him in honesty, in vulnerability, in the secret place. I want to ask you, are you making time for him? Are you spending time with him honestly and openly? Are you doing that? Are you letting your inner self, your inner heart come out? Okay. The second lesson, the second well, is the verse when Jesus answers one of her questions. It's in something Jesus said that Jesus brings out, and it really was highlighted to me as I got ready for this talk. It's in verse 13 when Jesus talks to her, and it says, "Jesus replied, 'Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life.'" We see in the encounter that the woman stops questioning and she starts to accept more of what Jesus is saying. She's already beginning to experience Jesus's love for her and his acceptance of her. She's seeing that he's not judging her, but that he's giving her his wisdom and his knowledge. And because of that, we see his love and his grace to her in action. She was in his presence. So remember, she may have already been feeling that fresh, bubbling spring rising up within her. She certainly would have felt loved, valued, and accepted in him. We can see that in the exchange. Jesus is showing her that fresh, bubbling spring. He's showing her he loves her, he accepts her. And he's showing her what's written in Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Incredible, isn't it? That God redeems us and has compassion for us. He forgives all our sins. He gently brings up this woman, has had five husbands, yet still manages to make her feel loved. I want to ask you, are you living in the knowledge of God's grace today? As a result, are you bubbling? Are you bubbling with living water? Because you should be. Each time you spend with him should change you. This woman was changed after she spent time talking to Jesus. Is your water fresh, alive, bubbling? Fresh water is appealing, refreshing, living. Are you? And don't you want to be? The third point I think we should make today is this simple one, that she ran to tell others. She ran. In verse 28, it tells us the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. She knew that Jesus needed nothing from her, but he wanted something, and she delivered it. She ran and even left her water to tell everyone. Are we doing that today? Are we telling others of God's goodness to us? It's easy to forget the things that we ask for and then he gives us, isn't it? But he asks us to remember them. We read in 1 Chronicles verse 8, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. This woman did that straight away. She ran. And we read that because of her testimony, many came to know Jesus for themselves. That's how we should be living. We should be ensuring we're telling others of our stories of what Jesus has done for us, of how he's changed us, not in an unnatural or even a forceful way, but in truth, out of relationship. We should be excited about what Jesus has done for us. We don't know, do we, how God will use those small seeds we may plant through the sharing of our stories to win people for him. We don't need to be aggressive. We can just be honest. I bet every single person here today has a story of God's goodness to them that could really bless and maybe challenge someone. Tell it. Share it. In Revelation 12, verse 11, don't we read that they have defeated him, the accuser, the enemy. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. What's your testimony? What story is God nudging you to share with someone? Listen to the Holy Spirit when you're with people. What's he reminding you of? What does he want you to say? Who knows where it'll lead? So we're going to watch a depiction of this story together now, just so you can visualise it a little bit more readily. It's really powerful, and it's from a series called The Chosen. And although they've taken some artistic licence, I love watching this because it depicts that the encounter with this woman moved Jesus as much as the encounter with Jesus moved this woman. Let's watch it together. Powerful, isn't it? And I love to be able to see that visual there. It really helps us to be able to see the significance of that encounter. That he is so kind, so gentle with her, talks to her, and she's initially frosty, isn't she? And then we see her soften and be changed by time with him. And we see him challenge her, but kindly, gently, lovingly. And she responds to that. And then we see her say, I'm going to tell everyone. incredible. I want to read this extract to you now. It's from a book by a guy called Malcolm Duncan. It's called 40 Days with Jesus. And I read it years and years ago. But I love this extract. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. that Malcolm Duncan has written about Jesus, and he's a pastor, a preacher and a writer. Many of you will know him. I've read this extract before actually in another talk, but never here at RRCC, but forgive me because sometimes I can't read it without getting quite emotional. So it's from a chapter called Beautiful Beyond Words. Jesus Christ is quite simply the most beautiful, caring and loving person you could ever meet. He is also the most breathtakingly honest friend you could ever have. Spend any time with him at all, and you will recognize that his love disarms you. It leaves you realizing how selfish, spiteful, and silly you can be. But he also leaves you with the most incredible gift, the gift of his love. Love that will undo you and then remake you. Love that will break you and then remodel you. I have known him as my friend since 1986, and he has never let me down. I have failed him many times. I have hurt him, lied to him, run away from him and insulted him. When I think about the times I've been embarrassed by him or been afraid to tell other people about him, I blush. Yet what leaves me speechless is that he has never been embarrassed by me. He's never been afraid to defend me. He's never walked away from me. He just won't let me go. Incredible, isn't it? I'm going to leave you with a summary now of this talk in the form of a gentle challenge today. And I'm going to go back to my well title. So, well, are you spending honest time with Jesus? And are you being changed by that time with him? Well, are you a fresh, bubbling source of his life? Well, are you telling others about his mercy, his faithfulness, his goodness? Don't waste time anymore. Get on with it. We're going to praise him together now. And I really want you to get involved. Get before him. Praise him. Thank him. Be changed and renewed by him now. Be ready to go out and tell others about him. Do not waste this time as we sing together. Do not waste this time. Let every moment that you spend with Jesus change you.